Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we take the cup that represents the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. See, the life is in the blood, Lord. And as you felt the blood go from you, and even before you were you're hanging on the cross, Lord. Father, we're remembering this day, Lord God, that it was by your stripes that we are healed, we're made whole by the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain, by the Christ who rose again. So we give you the praise, we give you the honor, Lord God, as we take this. Father, we ask for healing in ourselves, and not only healing for ourselves, Lord, that we would become healing, Lord, as we bring the gospel and your spirit to others. Wherever we go, in our marketplace, in this city, or elsewhere, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name, let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This morning, my message, great stuff this morning again. Praise God. Great worship. God inhabits the praises of his people, and we've brought God's presence in this place. It's not this building. Praise God. This morning, I want to share some thoughts. Ben was beginning to hit on a few things this morning, and I appreciate, you know, how the Spirit of God does things. You see it over and over and over again, how good God is. This morning, I want us to sort of consider, each of us are facing challenges. But my message this morning is the challenge of the unknown. The challenge of the unknown. Everyone here has something that you're facing this morning. You've done it probably in the past. You're probably facing something this morning. There's a challenge that lies before you. Of something that is unknown. You don't know hardly anything about it, let alone if you're younger, about life itself, whether you're younger or older, because when you get older, you still don't know how things go. So there's always an unknown factor that challenges us every day that we live. It's not just a one-off challenge. Oh, I've got victory. Praise God. No, well, there's another one coming. There's another unknown entity that's coming. That's just the way. No wonder why the Bible says the just shall live by the God kind of faith. Faith in his word. Faith in his promises. Praise God. This morning, you know, when God begins to do something new in each of our lives, it always presents a challenge. It always causes us to step outside of our comfort zone. Has anyone ever experienced stepping outside of a place that you were so comfortable in, and all of a sudden you had to, for some reason, the circumstance maybe kicked you out of a circumstance, or if as walking as a Christian, you knew that God was taking you out of a particular circumstance that was that you were used to and putting you into another circumstance. There was unknown challenge there. I think every one of us can shake our heads about this. You know, there's something about walking into a challenge of the unknown that causes us to have to take on a different mentality. It just happens. It's part of our makeup. And it causes our lifestyle to change. Because of the things that we know that God is calling us into. We don't know about it, so all of a sudden we begin to, like, you know, when you're doing something on your computer, and I don't do this very often. Sometimes I've hit things and I've deleted. There it went. But sometimes you delete something because you wanted out of the way because you're going to start something fresh. You don't need that thing from the past. And you're challenged to write something in a whole new vein of thinking, a whole new something that has to be done. And you're looking at this unknown, this unfinished page that you have to put something down. I not only believe that this morning God is challenging us, but I believe that every day that we are going to be living as God's people, we are going to be facing challenges in the unknown, challenges of the unknown. And I want us to take a look very quickly at a few people. You know, if you're going through something this morning, you can, when you go home, look in the mirror and just slap your face a little bit and let yourself know that you're not the only one going through something right now, facing an unknown challenge. And our generation of people that are alive today, we're not the only ones facing unknown challenges. Because the Bible in the Old Testament is filled with people of God who were challenged. Something in the unknown. Let's take a look at Moses. Let's take a look. I didn't put this down, but Abraham and Genesis chapter 12 down there, right? If we take a look at Genesis chapter 12 in the first several verses, it says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. There, right there, friend, is an uncomfortable feeling. Right there is the beginning of a challenge of an unknown factor. But you have to put one thing in this factoring. You have to put God in the factoring. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. You get that? He departed to the challenge of the unknown as the Lord had spoken to him. We're not sure of the timing factor, but there was something where there was a house to clean up and things to get ready and a bit of packing, and off the man went. In fact, even before the packing was done, in his mind, his mentality was set in a different mode. He was ready to go. Are you? And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. People today got us ready to die when we're in our late 40s and 50s and 60s. It's time to retire. It's time to look up and get your house ready, get your house in order, get ready to die. People don't like to hear about longevity. It's becoming a thing of the past. But it's the past of those who have heard great things about God, who keep on projecting out the goodness and the power and the grace and the life of God, who will do in a person who follows him, he or she, young or old, but especially the older people as well, who will do things when they begin to stand up and not look at all the odds that are against them. I want to sort of like not just aim at the older people today, but I want to aim at everybody, but I want to include the older people today. You know, the young ones are watching. What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they expecting from you? Abram was 75 years old, and he did according to what God had asked him. I could almost say without the flickering of an eyelash, he did it. He went. You know, there's all different kinds of ways that people react to God's challenge. Let's take a look at another person, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 10 through 11. Come now, and this is God speaking, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that I may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. In verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I? Excuse number one. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should go and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's another reaction. You see, there's all different kinds of reactions because we're all different. If you react in a negative way to God, it doesn't mean that you're a naughty, naughty, naughty person. Expect to react somehow, but expect to do something when God asks you to do something. Don't stay on the middle of the lane. Don't stay lukewarm. You are either going to be hot or you are going to be cold, because God can't use you when you're right in the middle. And let me tell you something, the devil has a hard time with you too when you're in the middle, which makes you miserable on both sides. But there's only one way that you receive life and the benefits of eternity. And that's when you go on the God side, to God, include God in the factory. And when he asks you to do something, you see, Moses had excuse after excuse after excuse. Let's take a look at another couple of verses in chapter 4 of Exodus and verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Well, pardon my expression, is what he should have said. It's an excuse. You see, most times, all of us, when we first hear something that God is speaking to us, it's a lot of times it's awesome. There's the challenge. It's provocative, and we react. We react to it, and we start giving excuses. I gave excuses in certain ways, not coming here, but going to Vanuatu after we got here so many years, after we lived here so many years, but going to Vanuatu. And the big question that the Holy Spirit sat down right alongside me and asked me, he says, well, I've asked you to go, and who's stopping you? And I began to weep because I found that I dug my toes in and my heart was stopping me. My mentality was stopping me because I had already made the great sacrifice. You know, sometimes when you compare yourself to the sacrifice that Jesus made, you're like a candle in the sunlight. You just melt. You realize how foolish statements you make, because who I am, what I have done, what I belong to. Moses offered excuse after, in fact, four of them are listed. Let's take a look at another portion of scripture there for Moses in verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. My tongue is thick. I don't talk too well. I stutter. That's all, folks. We can laugh at that, but he was saying, I'm not eloquent. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not eloquent enough. God said, I'm sending you. I've asked you to go. I may not have served in the armed forces, but I have been serving in the armed forces of God for a long time. And I know when it comes to blabbing off your mouth to your first superior, Almighty God, you learn very quickly to shut your mouth, to listen, and then not only listen, but to do. Praise God. Verse 13, Moses, another excuse, but he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. So send I you to labor unrewarded. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, the Pentecostal dudas are falling. Oh, Lord Jesus, send a brother or sister so-and-so. We can all sit here and laugh. But the challenges that you're facing, friend, every single one of us today, the challenge that we're facing is something that you have to laugh at yourself about, because you're probably offering God some of the things that we're looking at here, some of the ways of your approach. You can approach it like Abram and do something quickly. In fact, you're there even before you're ready to go. You can approach it as Moses did and give all kinds of excuses from point A, B, C, D, and God's just sitting there, okay, when you're done, just let me, and I'll finish the course of your conversation for you. Because remember, God started it. Let's take a look at another wonderful person in the Old Testament, Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Now the angel of the Lord came. Now there's a great persecution and great warfare that's going on between the Midianites and the Baal worshipers. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Josh the Abiezite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. This man is a seasoned warrior. He's trained. But he is a trained, fearful warrior now who has disgraced himself and is no longer acting or looking like a warrior or doing the things a warrior should be doing. He's thrashing stuff in the wine pit, in the threshold of a wine pit, while he's lifting his dress up so his feet can continue to press whatever he's doing. Verse 12 says this, and the angel of the Lord, God always does it. He'll do something, whatever, how he does it. He'll get you to either slap yourself so you wake up, or he'll send a slapping agent like an angel with a statement like this. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Come on, men. Who, me? Me? Mighty man of valor? Me? You know, sometimes in warfare, we can get all cut up. We can get all flayed. We can lose some of the armament and some of the things, the punctures in our vestments. But we're still alive. Satan hasn't won. I like the little statuette that your cousin Zachary gave me years ago before they left to go to Queensland. It was a Roman soldier who had his sword that's only about this big. It's on my shelving in my study. And it's a Roman soldier who had his sword down, resting, and had his shield to the side, and had cuts and abrasions all over his body. He was in warfare. Sometimes Satan can make you start to feel sorry for yourself. Or sometimes people can look at you and say, oh, you've done enough. You could hang. Don't worry about it. You've done enough already. It's time to quit. It's time to roll up and just start doing something else. I look at that statue and I think, I have two ways to look at it. The man's not done yet, or the man is done yet. And I see a man, when I look at that little statuette, that man's not done yet. He's armed and he's dangerous and he's a warrior. Are you? How are you looking at yourself? The angel had to remind Gideon of who he was. Mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of valor. You see, in the kingdom of God, there are no genders. When we're born again, we're made new creation, prepared for heaven. One day we'll have a new body. But until such time, we have to deal with these jars of clay, with the mud flaps and the whole thing, everything that comes with it. Praise God. There's more and more that goes on. You know, Isaiah felt uncomfortable. The prince of the prophets felt uncomfortable to do what God had called him to do. Jeremiah, but I'm just a youth. You see, all the ages we're looking at here in the Old Testament, from Abram starting at 75 all the way down to a young prophet, Jeremiah. I'm too young. I'm just a youth. Who's going to listen to me? Stand up if God's called you. Stand up in the anointing and the call and the word of God as he's placed over you, and to fulfill the thing that God has placed in your heart to fulfill, stand up and start to do it. And don't look to the side, the left or the right. Look to the Savior in the front who's already marked your path where to go. He's always in front of you, but he's always by your side leading you. Praise God. Some years ago, just a couple of years ago, Pastor Moran and I attended CBC, Central Bible College. We were from Niagara Falls originally, 1,000 miles away up on the northeastern coast in Niagara Falls, New York. We were accepted at Central Bible College and drove down, starting our lives not long after we got married. And it was within the first year or so, this is in the mid-later 70s, but 1976, we were sitting in a church not far from the front. And God began to speak to me, and unbeknownst to me, God began to speak to my wife the very same thing. I'm calling you overseas. And that's it. I'm calling you overseas. We looked at each other, and I said, and she said, and we knew that something had happened there. There was a deposit. There was a call. We heard a voice. We had to make a choice. You said it was in my first year of Bible college. I had about four years to go. And then Marianne was going to go through and race through it in three to get our degrees. It was in that time, over that time, that God began to deal with us. God began to speak to us at the same time without the other knowing it. So in itself, that says something to me. It's my wife wasn't thinking and whispering what she was hearing, and I didn't do the same thing. We just were quiet, but we heard. God didn't say where. That's the scary thing. That was the challenge. That was the challenge. God did not say where. During the whole time we were going to Bible college, for the remainder of our time, which is about 4 or 5 years, we kept on thinking, and I kept on thinking. I tried to help God. Maybe it's Africa. And Marianne says, I'm not going to Africa. So we were at odds. But no. And then I began to realize there's a lot of mozzies and it's a lot of heat and who knows. No, just kidding. We were open to anything. But God had all in his plan. He had the path that was marked out, and he began to walk in front of us. You know, even before we got to that school, I saw the different places of that school. I saw, E.S. Williams Chapel, the hall that was built not long before that, about a year or so before that happened, and became friends with a 95-year-old man who that was actually honored. They built that chapel in honor of this man. He became a good friend of mine. He prayed for us when we finally realized it was a call to Australia. God didn't say where, but we knew God, and I'm saying this so we can hear. I'm not trying to cause us to look at something great and lesser. Whatever God is speaking to you, that's great. because there's an eternal value to it, whether you're going halfway around the world or whether you're going next door to your neighbor's house or your family relatives coming to your house. That's eternal value that God, if he's speaking something to you. So there was a huge challenge of the unknown that laid before us. And again, that was about 1976. 5 years or so later, we arrived here in Australia, October 1981. And I'm saying all of this, some of you have heard this before, but I'm thrashing over this again because this is our life. We can relate. I can relate to Abram now. I can relate to Gideon. I can relate to Moses. I can relate to the prophets to some degree. I can relate to these ordeals that these people have gone through. And maybe some of you older ones should reflect on it as well because of what God is and has been doing in you, but what he is still about to do because he's not done with you. Praise God. Got here in October 1981, the three of us, my little daughter Aubrey was 22 months old, thereabouts. He's one of our worship leaders, Ben, son-in-law. Our son Austin was born here over time, a couple years after. We came here not going through a missions board because I was bored with that stuff. Because I knew. I attended mission school. I was going to get into missions. I also attended graduate school, but I dropped it after I saw that it's not up here all the time, but I learned good things, and I'm for education. But I was getting to the point of just filling this up with stuff that I only could read about, but my feet have never been there. My hands have never done anything with it. I've never able to say anything or experience it. How cute. I might join him in a minute. Can you take a picture of that? Do you mind if I take a picture? Can't see. Okay. My preaching is boring. Stay. Oh, nuts. Lay down, baby. Lay down. Yeah. That's all right. That's right. Anyway, let's get back to the preaching here. We knew God called us, but we both felt, in a sense, when we arrived here, there was a huge sense of inadequacy. You see, I was told by my pastor, you know, you're going to Australia? And he's a Canadian fella, come to America. You're going to Australia? One of the hardest places to get the gospel out. And I thought, I know. And that put, when we got here, a sense of inadequacy. It's not to knock on ourselves because we're Australian now, but it just threw water. Should I go? But I knew I had to go. I overcame that thought. I overcame that, what he had said. It caused a great sense when we got here of inadequacy, self-doubt. And for the first time, besides going over the Canadian border sometimes, we felt foreign. Have you ever felt foreign? If you take people out, sometimes you can feel foreign when God says, take these people out, you know, witness to this person. You can feel foreign. Yes, I know. Yes, praise God. You know, we realized for the first time that we were not here on holidays. We were here to live and start a life. We had to trust God for every single thing from that point on, and we're still doing it today. Every single thing that we've ever done, we had to learn to trust God. I said we had to learn to trust God and not ourselves. You see, what God was doing was, when he called us, he was calling us to something that was well and truly beyond our limitations. It was well and truly beyond our ability to do the things that he asked us to do. But I've got some good news, and I've got some facts, I think, if you don't know, is that back in the early days, you know, we've been here for like 33 years now, since 1981. That's over half my life. over half Pastor Marianne's life. And during that time, we made a few different moves to a couple of different spots, all the places of which, even before we got here, I saw in dreams that God gave. I saw this place, I saw Five Islands, saw Taraji Beach, I saw Wakers Parkway, that's where Phil Pringle is, Triple C, and a few other spots. It's not to boast, it's just a fact. Before we got here, I had seen the places before we made our moves to them. Planted this church, the Crossway, in 1985, and have been its pastors ever since. Pastor Moran and I have been its pastors ever since. It's a lot of hindsight. Next year, in May, will be our 30th year for the Crossway. Happy birthday to us. And I'd like to have a good celebration when that comes. In honor to the Lord. Am I boasting to blow my own trumpet or blow our trumpets? No. I'm only saying this, friends, that God had seen every single detail of what we were going to pass through and how he was going to help us and the ultimate fulfillment of what he had planned for us to fulfill, and we're not done yet. And it's just to encourage every single one of us, there's moves that we're making. Make sure they're in God. Make sure they're in God. And when you get to a point and you feel good about yourself and you feel like this is all set now and I can sort of like, I don't have to do anything else more for God because God, I've served you a long time. I've served you well and I'm ready to go. Or I'm ready just to retire. Abraham couldn't get his ears around retirement with what God was speaking in his ears. 75 years old. Something new. You see, our natural self has to deal with, and this is what we had dealt with as well quickly before when God called us here. I can't do this. Anyone here say that? You don't have to shake your heads, raise your hand. Anyone here ever say, I can't do that? It's just beyond my ability, it's beyond my limitations. But you know God has asked you to do something? It's all out of proportion. It seems what God asks you to do. And so it should be, because what he asks you to do is always bigger than you are. And it's there to cause ourselves to stretch. Part of God's business is stretching you and me. Stretching our what we're at one particular point, but stretching us to a point where there's greater framework and you can enlarge the borders of your tent. You can enlarge the capacity of your thinking. You can enlarge the capacity of what you're doing by allowing my spirit to work through your spirit and walk through you to the places and the things I'm asking you to do. I didn't say I'm not going with you. I didn't say do it in your own limitations and your own abilities. I said, I'm asking you to go, and I'm going to help you. Because it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And that's the only way his work will ever be accomplished. But he does it, God working in and through people just like you and just like me. So if you're ever feeling lonesome, gloom, despair, and agony on end. Remember Hee Haw, if you ever got it here? If you're ever feeling lonesome, and if you're ever feeling down, and would like to arrange a pity party, don't call me. In fact, you better not call anybody, because as many invitations as you send out, you probably won't get one that will come. God is asking, and what God asks, he is there to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory for his name's sake, to get the job done that has to be done. You see, we're all, instead of looking, and I think the thing that can help us Any person in the right attitude toward God and toward themselves, have a healthy attitude toward yourself, because you are not a kingpin. I'm not the kingpin that's making all God's kingdom work. I'm one of the pins holding it together, and so are you. But without my pin, things begin to unravel. Without your pin, things begin to unravel. God needs every single one of us for input, because we're all connected to Him, and we're all being connected by God to others. And you don't know sometimes where you're going. And thank God you don't. If I would have asked, okay, give me some details and show me what's going to happen, if God would have done what I asked Him to do, we probably, undoubtedly, would not have come. You know, you tell a pregnant woman, well, this is what you need to expect when you're going to have a baby. And some of them will put fear, and some of them will say, well, you'll get through it. But they don't know, because they've never experienced it. But once the labor pains begin, there's the experience that starts to mount up, and they can count it up, and they can remember those times when they began to have the child of theirs, and the labor pains began, and they got stronger and stronger until the promise of what God said would happen happens. Then they get hindsight, and they can do other things as well. Maybe not the best illustration, but I tell you what, it's to trust Almighty God in what He's asked us to do this morning. If you're here this morning, if we could sing that song today, that fairly new song, and I'm going to ask that all of us, if we could just be upstanding, and if we can just praise God, and if you're that person today that, you know, you've been sort of meandering a little bit at the border of what God has asked you to do, you've been challenged. In fact, you've been so challenged, you've been provoked. Maybe you've not been looking at yourself the right way, and God says, I want you to see yourself as I see you. You are a man or a woman of great valor. You're a great warrior in the work of Jesus Christ. And there's an eternal work that God has for every single one of us in this place. It's not to gauge ourselves, well, Pastor Chuck did this, and Sue Ellen did this, and Pastor Sue's doing this, and you know, these people are doing this, and Sister Helen and Brother Peter are doing this, and marvelous works. We can't compare to them, so, you know, hang our boots up. No, let's see your boots on and see what you can do. God wants to see you with the boots on. He wants to see you in marching toward what He's asking you to do. I believe that there are things being birthed here, friends, in the Spirit this morning. It could be the challenge of a business. It could be a challenge of God calling you to do something, and you know what He's been calling you to do, and you've just not answered that call. And it's not just going to another church. It's getting involved in the work of God, because if you really knew, and if God could open up your eyes to see how many people are going over the brink into hell every day and getting lined up for it, man, we would change. We'd have a heart after God's own heart. That's what His heart is all about. That's why He came to save the world in the power of His might. Let's sing this song, and if that's you this morning and you want prayer, you want to dedicate your life, you want to give yourself over, you want to abandon yourself to the Holy Spirit, what God has been asking you to, what to do, I want you to come forward, and I want you to stand with Jesus this morning, and I want you to deal with what He's asked you to do. If you want prayer, I'll pray with you. But if you want to stand here and just dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there's a work in these last days before Jesus comes. I've heard this all my life, but I realize it's a lot closer now. There's a work that needs to be done that's so vital that will be ushering in Jesus. And it all has to do with souls. Amen. Some of you today are going to be changing venue. Some of you today, when I say changing venue, the venue of what you thought was your career. God does that. Some of you are going to be changing the way your mentality of how you've been looking at the things that God has been asking you to do things. He doesn't want you to look at the church that you're in. He wants you to look at the cross where you got saved and what you got saved from, what you're getting saved to. There's a great work to be done. I believe there's soldiers and there's warriors in this place that you need to be recharged. You need to be encouraged. And I pray this is a challenging, encouraging word to you this morning to, if I can say this the right way, to get off your laurels and begin to stand up and see yourself as God sees you. Just like that angel reminded Gideon of who he was, the great man of valor, mighty man of valor. Amen. Let's sing it together.